Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Sologi and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, so this episode is going to be for April 9th, 2021. And, so kind of one of the bigger stories, we don't really have it on here, mostly because... Well, you'll find out later because most of us have been making moves to actually inoculate ourselves against it. But it looks like we may or may not be on the verge of a fourth COVID wave. But the big difference this time is because so many people have been vaccinated, it may end up not being that big of a deal. I mean, obviously, you still need to like take your regular precautions and shit, but... Yeah, this is especially true now because, as we'll be talking about later, there's a particular variant now that is now the dominant strain in the U.S. But because so many people have been, gone to get vaccinated by this against it, the death rates and the hospitalization rates have still been trending downward. So, after like a year plus of this shit, it does finally feel like the world is no longer on fire, at least for this particular reason. But obviously, we'll be talking a bit more about that stuff. We've also got some other stuff to be discussing, specifically including other COVID shit. Like, you think we had it bad here? Holy shit, look at what's happening in Brazil. Also, the continuing demolition of Matt Gaetz as an individual and as a politician is still continuing. The trial of Derek Chauvin is still going on, and man, it looks like he is not going to make it out of here in one piece. And, the NRA still has some serious shit to deal with. All of this and more on this week's exciting edition of Let's Weekend. So let's start us off as we always do. Chris, what have you been doing this week?
So I got involved with that, Funimation deal. On PlayStation, where if you sign up for the 14-day free trial, you get a code where you can add another 90 days for free on top of that. And so I decided to start watching My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
Which I'm liking a lot. I'm in the start of season 2 right now. We're basically about to start a big, as is tradition in anime, especially shonen, tournament of sorts.
Yep.
Some sort of competition here.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode is just like, let's recap the entire first season in one episode for some reason. I was like, you could just had me watch this and I've been caught up, but oh well. But liking it a lot. They do a nice job of adding lore in there of the notion that people have superpowers now. It's like 80% of people have it. And they can kind of tell if some a kid's going to get it because their like left pinky toe is like fused instead of being two bones.
Yeah,
which is a weird thing. But the main character Deku is one that unfortunately does not have that, despite him basically being a huge fan of the hero All Might.
Yeah.
He was sort of the most famous hero in the world.
Yep.
But he's still going to a like prep school for the big Hero Academy, despite not having any powers to speak of. But as luck has it, he runs into a situation with a villain. All Might gets involved, that kind of stuff. Kind of befriends him a bit, gets back involved with that villain because it's taken one of his classmates hostage, all that kind of stuff. And All Might gets the courage because he has this whole thing where he, due to a serious injury sustained, he can only sustain that powered up form for like 3 hours.
Yep.
And he had kind of used that to help get Deku back home. So he kind of gets the courage to push himself to the limits because Deku kind of just stupidly runs after the villain to try to save his friend. And sort of reveals to him that he has this, that he doesn't have a quirk either. That's what they call him, the quirks. But he had this power that was passed down between generations, I guess.
Yeah.
The one for all power.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of trains him to have like a body that could increase and all that. You know, gets it and is like dealing with it. Like his first use is in training for the, or like a test for the, then find out some real villains to actually come to take over the place because they were going to try to kill All Might. So it's for season one, which I was expecting to keep going for a while, but been set up for this whole tournament thing. Like the lore of the world and all that they add in on the sides is really nice and really well done. So I'm enjoying it a lot so far. Nothing else on the anime front. I'm just checking out the one thing right now. For other stuff, I've been watching a bit more Venture Brothers, still in season two, but really enjoying this one episode where essentially Brock is going off on a mission for an intelligence mission and leaves the security duties to, what is her name, Molotov Cocktease? his former associate. To which all sorts of weird shit happens. She's trying to teach the family to fend for themselves so Brock can go back to working with her, I guess. Which involves Hank stabbing Dean in the foot with a pencil. And Hank has a huge crush on her. I think somehow he's going to woo her in some way. To the point that he's like in her room and somehow gets himself stuck with some like hallucinogenic stuff from like a dart, and decides he's going to try to kill his dad to become her man, I guess. So it's a whole weird thing where he's like grabbing himself in the crotch and smacking him with a knife, big ass knife, machete thing. Real fun thing, but yeah, still a lot of good stuff here. Yeah, gonna keep watching that. And the other main thing I've been doing this week, I finished up Ratchet and Clank Going Commando. Beat that last night, which wasn't too bad. I did have one episode I just recorded locally that was a like grinding episode because there's I got to a point where I was getting to the last couple planets and still like two weapons that I needed to get or that I wanted to get. And I needed some armor because the enemies at that point were taking off like whole chunks of health that I didn't like. So I was just doing some of the various challenge stuff, the combat arenas, the space combat stuff, that kind of stuff. So managed to get the one armor upgrade I could afford, the 250K. There's one above it for a million. It's like, no, we're not. We're not going to do that much grinding. They got the one of the last two weapons and was in good shape to get the other one during the finale. So did that, the final boss, and I was reminded why I don't remember that final boss that much because it's pretty easy for the most part. Either that or I upgraded my weapons such that I just tore right through it. Which works, whatever. And proceeded to start up challenge mode. Play for a little bit. Don't think I'll actually play much more, but we'll be starting Up Your Arsenal tomorrow night. Excited for that, because that's the one I haven't beaten. I haven't played it that much. I have my main save. I'll probably check it out before I start streaming just to see where I was at. Because it was fun to look playing to the different levels and be like, okay, I remember this part. I remember the whole city where the protopets are going wild over the place, let loose, and they just spawn more of themselves constantly, which is ridiculous, especially because I think there's an ultimate limit of how many they have in an area, but it's a good way to farm for bolts if you need to. Just kind of leave enough alive, but it's just super annoying at times. So just like, all right, just stop playing around with these fucking idiots. But yeah, that was pretty much it. How about you, Brian or Teresa?
Yeah, Teresa next.
Well, I've been playing a decent bit of Animal Crossing. You know, it's just that way. It comes and goes. And then I also got Monster Hunter Rise. Oh, guys, it is Friday.
Mm.
It really is. Mm. Played a little bit of that. Not enough, though. I'm hoping to rectify that situation this weekend. And as for watching things, the usual stuff, we're doing Dragon Ball and the first major, well, not the first major death, but the first major death has happened.
Mm.
For not to spoil something that's older than fucking you guys are. I mean, and then also Bob's Burgers, we are probably pretty close to catching up with as they air. We haven't been watching it quite as quickly as we were when it was still wintry. Part of that is because now our kid is going to school every single day. So sometimes we're just running out to ye local drive-through for lunch on our lunch hours at work. So yeah, we haven't been watching it as much at lunchtime. Sorry guys. We watched a little bit tonight. And oh god, what else have we been watching? We watched Godzilla vs. Kong the other night. That was pretty good. It's HBO Max. And apparently not actually on HBO, or at least not tonight. I was trying to check their schedule. You guys remember, like, they used to print in TV Guide? So I was trying to check that online, because I was telling my uncle about it, and he wanted to know when it was going to be on. So, yeah, we watched that. If you get a chance to watch it, definitely worth the time to watch. And then we also watched South Park Vaccination Special. And damn, you know, those guys they're on point. They were so on point. It was a little uncomfortable, you know, how much they were really hitting the nail on the head about the feeling of wanting the vaccine but not being able to get it.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. We actually watched that while we were on vacation, and we had gone to Bellevue, Iowa, which is just on the other side of the Mississippi of the Mississippi Palisades State Park, which we did visit. That whole area, that very extreme northeast of Iowa, and then a lot of the northwest part of Illinois, and a good chunk of southwest Wisconsin is it's not like the rest of the Midwest. It has like miniature mountains. I mean, they're not just hills. They're like, holy shits. So when the whole glaciation was happening, there was a little horseshoe shaped place that got missed. And it's right around the Mississippi River Valley. And god damn, there were a lot of hills. Like chewing gum hills, not, you know, not just little shit things. So we had a pretty decent time, but we did end up watching a lot of stuff. Like I finally got around to watching The Witches of Eastwick, and we let Jacob watch Happy Gilmore with us because, come on, he's old enough for that.
Yeah.
And amazingly, the movie aged well. So, but other than that, I did get my first shot, and I go in a week from tomorrow for my second. So, I'm hoping that there won't be any side effects. It just seems so random, you know, how it's going. So, I will be happily fully vaccinated 2 weeks after that. But already they say that after the first dose of Pfizer, the body will still have a very robust vaccine reaction or, you know, mobilization against any invading COVID forces. Is a long way of saying a word that I can't think of today. Response. A response. So that's pretty much it. What have you been up to, Brandon?
Well, I got my first vaccine shot this week.
Nice.
Yes, it was, I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday. And it was very simple. I'm actually kind of surprised I took this long to do it. But basically all I had to do was I had to call the Georgia Health Department's, you know, vaccine line. And it was basically just sort of a short little call waiting thing. I just had to give them some simple, you know, information, you know, name, date of birth, et cetera, et cetera. You know, whether or not I'd had COVID, stuff like that. And then just had to choose, like, where do I want to go to, like, actually get the vaccine. And as it just so happens, Bibb County, just so, like, just not terribly far away from where I live, they've set out a big white tent, like, drive-through area that you can go to that's actually not too far from the local hospital. And it was like, yeah, it's like, okay, just make an appointment for you at like around 10:40 and go and get it. And so, yeah, I got up that morning, drove over there, and the whole process probably took like maybe 15, 20 minutes. Basically, when I first drove over there, I just had to like fill out some paperwork and stuff, and you know, like that was more or less the extent of it. I went around and then I went over to actually get the shot. And of course, it's just a jab. You barely even feel it.
Yep.
Just a quick little stick and it's over with. And they told me to just sort of park over to this nearby parking area for 15 minutes just to make sure that, you know, I don't have any nasty side effects, which I didn't. So,
nice.
First shot down, next shot is happening on, I think, May the 4th. Yeah, May the 4th. So, yeah. Now, as far as, like, any kind of side effects or anything, the worst I had was, like, kind of a stiff, kind of a sore, like, bicep for, like, a day. And that was basically it. Like, I did also kind of have, like, felt kind of, had kind of, like, a foggy, you know, weird cognitive thing happening as well, but I mean, I wasn't going anywhere that day anyway, so.
Yeah. I got a sore throat from mine.
Yeah.
And I coughed for a couple days, and then I had a sore throat, and then I was done.
Yeah. And, so. I mean, compared to the shit I had to deal with when I got COVID, it was a minor inconvenience at best.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's no telling what side effects I'll be getting with the second shot.
Yeah. Do you kind of have a strategy on what you're going to do?
Well, I ain't going anywhere the following day, so.
Yep. Yep. Going to have your favorite, fever reducer of choice nearby.
Fever reducer and a whole lot of Jack.
Yeah. Yeah. There's this stuff called Goody's powder. Have you guys ever heard of this?
Yep.
Okay.
Used it in the past.
Yeah, I've heard that will work pretty well for a 1-2 punch on the pain and the, you know, the fever and whatnot. But they don't sell it by me. Either I'm looking at the wrong drugstore.
They sell it pretty close to where I live. I'll go and get a pack.
Yeah.
In the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to do what some people on Reddit suggested and pop an edible a little while after. So that if, you know, I do get a fever, kind of just sit there.
Maybe I can convince my mom to share her roach clip. I don't know.
Yeah, you could do it. Just make sure you get an Indica strain.
Yeah. I will say this. After I got it, I felt like I felt powerful.
Yeah. I went in for mine, I had a lot of feelings too.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, this is something we've basically been hiding from for over a year now. And now I've actually got this defense. And, well, almost. I still have that second shot. But even with this one shot, I've still got a pretty good defense going. And that's on top of the antibodies that, I got.
You already
have. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I have superpowers now, is what I'm saying.
They did the one that I went to in an old abandoned Kmart store.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, it was actually the Air Force. The Air Force was there, or at least all the people that I talked to were Air Force. And it was a pretty big thing because they were doing probably about 500 people
mm-hmm.
Every hour.
Mm.
So I was there for probably almost a half an hour before I got my shot.
Mm.
And I did have an appointment, went through the big lines and everything. It was kind of a little bit like O'Hare. And then they had a first screening. Then they had a second screening for, more information. And then you finally got to the person who would give you the injection. And I was walking through that line with everybody else. And I was looking around at them. And all I could think was, these people and me, we're probably not going to die from COVID.
Yeah.
And that's not something I could have said a day before.
Yeah.
And it was really cool and, really, really awe-inspiring, thank you, science, to be standing in a building with 500 other people and we were all going to live.
Yeah. And it also makes you realize how fucking juvenile the anti-vaxxers really are.
It is. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So I'm still trying to convince my parents to get it, especially since they're going down to Florida next weekend for a couple of weeks. And, I told them, look, it's, like I told you, we all got COVID around the same time. So those mm-hmm. antibodies will still be working in their system when they go down there. But, it's a good idea to stay safe either way. And, the way it's time now, they could probably go and get their vax the day before they leave. And by the time they come back, it'll be time to get back to get the second shot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that might help is to let them know that them doing this helps mm-hmm. protect more kids.
Yeah. And it also helps
have it.
Yeah. And it also helps protect a grandma because as I don't know, I said this before we started recording. My grandmother, unfortunately, is one of a handful of people who can't take the vaccine because she tends to have really bad medical reactions to vaccine injections. So unfortunately she cannot take it.
Yeah.
But So anyway, other than that, I've also been playing still playing Disco Elysium, the final cut on my PS4, and God, that game is so fucking addictive and so unbelievably smart and also so goddamn funny at the same time. Mm-hmm. It really is. I absolutely recommend, I will heartily recommend this game to anybody that wants to play, a computer RPG, because it's that damn good. And I will say though, if you are going to get the version on PS4, you're going to want to download the recent patch too, because there's a bug that happens that kind of soft locks the game after day 3. And it can be an issue. But it's a damn good game. I've also been playing Splatoon 2 again, and that's just kind of become a nightly thing for me now. I'm getting better at it, but I've also come to realize that there really are some seriously scummy camping players out there, and I hate their fucking guts for it. I will say, though, that compared to, like, a lot of competitive game spaces, the Splatoon community is far less toxic than pretty much any of the other ones you'll encounter. And I wonder if that specifically has to do with the fact that you can't actually communicate with each other through a microphone.
That, it might be.
You know. Let's see. Other than that, I've been reading, you know, my usual book stuff. I've been... recent book I got is this book called The Ragged Trousered Philanthropist by Robert Tressel. It's like one of those, it was written by a guy, Tressel wasn't his real name, but he was a guy who worked as a professional sign painter, and he basically wrote this kind of autobiographical narrative that sort of describes what it was like to live as like a day laborer during a time when you had no legal protections as far as like, you know, unions or, you know, minimum wages or any shit like that. Part of a category that's sometimes called proletarian literature, or at least one of the big inspirations for it. But it is, it's a book that even though it's almost plotless and it's pretty long, it's like over 600 pages, it is surprisingly addictive reading, simply because of his ability to, it's like the conditions are like, God damn, how can anyone actually live through this shit? And then you remember, no, this is how the majority of people in industrialized society lived for time on end.
Yeah.
And quite the majority still do, frankly. So heartily recommend that. And really, other than that, just kind of getting stuff ready for, you know, when my next vaccine shot is, and trying to convince family members to get the vaccine, you know, if they can do it, because again, there is no reason not to get it. I mean, I cannot tell you, I have had far more family members who have mentioned to me that I thought were far more intelligent than this, who thought that getting the vaccine meant that they'd get a microchip inserted into them.
I mean, it's completely rich, considering that they're all carrying around, you know, few $100 phones.
Also, it's fucking impossible. Like, even the smallest microchips that exist now cannot possibly pass through the space of a syringe of that size.
No, and they can't live very well in our body, unprotected. No. They gotta be in a capsule or something. You gotta swallow this shit.
Yeah.
They've got it all wrong. No, let's not give them more conspiracy theory fuel.
Yeah, and then there's at least one relative who told me that taking the vaccine was like taking the mark of the beast, and I'm like, God.
Boomers?
Yeah. Boomers. Boomers. But, yeah, so with that out of the way, did you guys want to add anything about anything else before we move on?
Don't forget, tax day is coming up for non-individuals.
Yeah, taxation, the taxes, that's going to be... Well, actually, didn't they move the
date for individuals, yeah.
Yeah, into May. Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
but non-individuals, it's still very much a thing. Yeah. All right. Well then, with that out of the way, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And since the story of vaccination came up, I thought it was a time that maybe we should talk about, well, where the origins of anti-vaccination feelings and ideas come from. Because for about as long as inoculation itself has existed, there's always been people out there who've been trying to fight it somehow for reasons that on occasion are well-meaning, but most of the time are just pure ignorance. So, like, for example, back when the first vaccinations for things like, say, the cowpox. The first major inoculation against cowpox in Europe, specifically in the UK, happened around the turn of the 19th century, specifically like around 1801, 1802. And basically all of the, they tried to get most people to, you know, go out and actually like go and get it. And, you know, back then compared to, the type of vaccination, because in the modern age, when you go and get vaccinated, it's just a jab, right? You know, it's a syringe. But back in the old days, when inoculation first started as a thing, most vaccination was done using a specific type of tool that basically resembled a knife.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's generally, like, if you ever see, like, a picture of, like, these old vaccination knives and, like, pictures or whatever, a lot of times you'll see them, they're one of those types of knives that, on the surface, it looks like they have two handles, but that's because, you know, the two handles close over the blade, you know, so that the blade remains relatively clean and free of, like, other pollutants and stuff. But basically what they would have to do is they would use this knife to put a little, you know, cut a little slit in the skin, and then they would wipe the blade, you know, of, you know, the blood, because, you know, again, you're making a cut in the skin, and then they would, dip it in the solution that has the, you know, the dormant non-working virus. And then they would take it back, and then they would dip it back into the wound. And that's, you know, how it happened. Now, I will admit that that's not exactly the most pleasant.
No.
Yeah, especially as far as, like, it's not the most pleasant as far as, like, just imagery is concerned. But, you know, by the modern era, eventually we got the invention of the syringe and stuff like that. Now, obviously, since then, there's been, like, weird, you know, conspiracies and stuff that have spotted up every so often. Some of these, for example, come up because of, well, very well-earned suspicion. Here in the United States, there is a very long tradition of the New African or African-American community being extremely skeptical of doctors and the medical field in general. And there is a good reason for that. For far too long in this country, non-white people, and specifically women of color, were often the unwitting subjects of experiments being done by medical facilities against their will or without their knowledge. The most infamous, of course, is the Tuskegee experiment, which was specifically, I have to remember what the exact thing with that was. It was, they put out news for like a smallpox inoculation, and for like every, they specifically said they were going to do it for the, specifically for the black community, and I can't remember if it was like in St. Louis. I want to say it was in St. Louis. I don't think it was in St. Louis, but I want to say St. Louis. And for every like three or four person who was going to get the vaccination, they ended up infecting them with smallpox. And then as the smallpox rate in, you know, would, you know, because it's smallpox and it would spread, they would basically refuse to give them the proper treatment just so that they could see the results of what will happen in such a situation. And as you can imagine, a lot of people died that should not have died. And then, of course, there's the other things, like where the origins of gynecology in the United States comes from. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to read something that'll depress you for the entire week. Just, take a little bit and research that little topic. Now, the good thing is, in spite of the fact that of this fact, the Black community has actually been one of the most enthusiastic in getting vaccinated against the COVID virus in this country. Mostly because the Black population has been one of its worst victims.
Yeah.
So, but as for like modern vaccination, anti-vaccination hysteria, there's actually one person you can point. One individual, one person who just one singular asshole you can point to and say, yeah, this is the asshole who started it all. His name was Andrew Jeremy Wakefield, a now disbarred British physician who did a very flawed study and submitted a paper to The Lancet that put forth the idea that the, I think it was the MMR vaccine, that because of the materials that were being used in the MMR vaccine for things like, yeah, it's like, what's the MMR vaccine used for? It's for measles, mumps, and rubella.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it caused autism. And yeah, this guy is the focal point where all that shit starts. The idea of vaccines causing autism, this is the guy. He's the one responsible for it. And he is completely fucking unrepentant to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he put out the study in 1998. It was published in The Lancet. Do you guys know what The Lancet is, right?
Yeah, it's the medical journal.
It's like the medical journal.
Yeah.
It's the one that all of the doctors in the world pay attention to. And it's also one of the things that only a doctor can read, because I can tell you, if you're a layman trying to read a paper in The Lancet, you will come away completely fucking confused. Because because it's deep in medical jargon. If you don't know what that medical jargon means, it is completely fucking nonsensical. And anyway, he put it in there, and almost, like, not very long afterwards, like, this thing literally was not in The Lancet for very long before it was retracted. Because mm-hmm. It became very clear very quickly that his entire research was very, very flawed. He didn't have this from the Wikipedia article. The Lancet fully retracted his 1988 publication on the basis of the GMC, that's the, you know, the big medical council's finding, and noting that elements of the manuscript had been falsified and that the journal had been deceived by Wakefield. Which seems to imply that apparently before he submitted this paper, he had told them a bunch of shit that wasn't true. He was, I believe, and let's see, he was finally stricken from the registry in, I think it was 2001. No, it was 2010. Mm-hmm. And he has basically been walking around and doing the whole anti-vax crusade ever since. He is the absolute perfect definition of a fucking sociopath. Because he is more than anybody else on planet Earth is responsible for more children dying from preventable diseases simply because of the bullshit he decided to start spouting.
Yep.
And to this day, you know, like, you, for God's sakes, you live in Chicago. I'm sure you've had to deal with shit like this before, with those anti-vaxxer shit where there's, because the thing about anti-vaxxers isn't just that they're stupid, it's also that they're really, really fucking entitled.
And loud.
And loud.
Yeah, they're still in my friend circle, actually. Mm-hmm. Fringes, definitely. But yeah, I have absolutely dealt with them. It's a lot of the reason why we don't homeschool, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it just... God. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That community and the Waldorf community, just, oh my God. So much bullshittery.
Yeah. And that has been another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. And now you feel less stupid. So, with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And unfortunately, as always, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And our first big asshole of the week is the state of Arkansas, because Arkansas became the first state to ban gender-confirming treatments and surgery for transgender youth.
Yep, this one is interesting, because it passed the House and the Senate, House and Senate. Then the governor vetoed it.
Yep.
Which I wouldn't be surprised at all if that was just a ploy to be like, oh, I don't agree with this. And then the House and Senate overrode it with their own votes. So it's into law. It essentially, as we said, bans gender-confirming treatments and surgery for transgender youth. You know, you see what else it says here. That's
pretty much the extent of it. Although there are other things they're now trying to do, like, for example, they are now trying to make it so that teachers in Arkansas wouldn't be required to address a student by their preferred name or pronoun.
Sure, might as well go all the way if you're going to be assholes to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Guess so.
Like, GOP lawmaker was quoted as saying, "We have a real issue in our state. We have students in school now that don't identify as a boy or a cat, but as a cat, as a furry." I'm like, lady, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's a whole other thing.
Also, in my experience, the furry community is far better than Christians.
Yep.
Just a personal experience there. I mean, let's be honest. We all kind of saw this coming after, you know, same-sex marriage became the law of the land. You know, the GOP had to move on to another boogeyman because they can't win on their regular ideas right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're moving on to another, minority community that they can persecute. And the unfortunate truth is that there is a not very large but very loud part of the gay community that would be willing to go along with this. And then, of course, you got assholes like Joanne Rowling.
Yeah.
That's another story entitled. And other assholes of the week. So after the big beer belly putsch that happened back in January 6th, there's been a couple hundred people that have been caught, a few hundred people now that have been collared by the FBI. And part of the reason they've been able to get so many is because so many of these people were so fucking stupid to show their faces on social media as it was happening. And like, you know, and like wearing like that one guy wearing a t-shirt saying I was there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Or that lady who was advertising her real estate business as the insurrection was ongoing. Yeah. Well, this week we now found that 6 members of the Seattle Police Department were involved at the insurrection.
They're just putting it out there because it's not something that they should be able to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what their next plan is for what to do with these cops, but it's interesting and not really surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Seattle PD chief, Adrian Diaz, said that the OPA would investigate the to determine whether SPD officers were violated, SPD policies were violated, and if any potential legal activities need to be referred for criminal investigation. Also said if any SPD officers were directly involved in the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, I will immediately terminate them while OPA investigates. These officers have been placed on administrative leave. They have the OPA... which is the, let me see what it says here, Seattle Office of Police Accountability. They have 180 days to present its findings to the SPD for the force to determine if policies were violated and decide if criminal investigations will be sought. So they get a little vacation before they figure out what, if anything, these cops did during the whole insurrection.
From the one or two people I know who live in Seattle, this isn't that big of a shock.
Yeah.
The Seattle Police Department doesn't really have the best reputation, but they kind of get outshined by the likes of like the NYPD or the LAPD. Not terribly surprising. But in this week, we do have a Hero of the Week, and that Hero of the Week is none other than Shaquille O'Neal, because he paid off a man's layaway bill for an engagement ring.
Yeah.
He was at Zales. Said here, I was in Zales looking for some loop earrings. I seen the guy coming in. He was just so shy. He was saying, hey, how much do I owe to pay off my ring? When Shaq overheard them, this conversation, he said, I was like, my man, how much is the ring? I'm not going to say the amount of whatever was owed. He just passed his credit card to the employee who helped pay it off. Whatever's
That's
left.
Cool. Yeah, I was reading that apparently he does go around, is pretty well known in his community, and does some stuff like this here and there.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He said he never meant for the story to get out, and noted, I don't do it for that. He just does it to help out people, pay it forward, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He makes enough money for what he needs, and he's glad to help other people out that need it.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Apparently he's actually pretty generous with his money. So, hey, good on him.
Yeah.
All right. So with that out of the way, it's now time for the proper show proper. And of course, the first story we got tonight is that the UK COVID-19 variant is now the dominant strain in the United States. That's the bad news. The good news is, because of the growing number of vaccinations we have in the U.S., it might not be that big of an issue. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, though I think the bigger issue is in terms of kids.
This particular strain is pretty nasty to the young folk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so adults might not have as much of an issue for those that have been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting because the studies are still going on for how the different vaccines work with the kids. Seems like the Pfizer one that seems like it's going to be work really well for them.
Mm-hmm.
So just be a matter of figuring out the right ages to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And get that all set up.
All right. As far as the vaccine, Biden is essentially stretching out the eligibility basically to everybody by next month.
Yeah.
So by that point, next month, I think it was like May 16th or something. Yeah. At that point, everybody will be eligible to get it. So, you know, I got it, or at least the first half of it. It didn't, you know, the side effects were a minor inconvenience at worst. Mm-hmm. So if it's nearby you and you're available, go get it. Trust me, you really cannot, you know, unless you're one of those handful of people who gets really bad side effects from vaccine injections, you really have no reason not to. You don't even have to pay for it. Completely free.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of bad COVID shit, Brazil became the third country to surpass 4,000 COVID-19 deaths in a 24-hour period.
So can you guess the other two?
We're one of them. And I guess the other one is China?
Nope.
Who?
Peru.
Ah.
They hit that on August 14th. So, yeah, Brazil is in a really bad spot on this stuff.
Yeah, for a couple of reasons, their current government being one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have Jair Bolsonaro, who is basically like Trump without a filter. And yeah, he is, I mean, even he fucking got it, and I think it almost nearly killed him.
Yeah.
Damn.
But he's just so fucking callous as a person. He doesn't really care.
Yep. Still refuses to do any sort of lockdowns or any measures to try to curb this stuff from spreading.
Keep in mind, Bolsonaro was like originally like a not necessarily a direct member, but a participant in the military dictatorship that ruled Brazil for like 20 or 30 years. So, you know, he has a history of cruelty. Anyway, yeah, moving on from there, speaking again of Joseph Biden, President Biden announced his executive orders to be taken into effect on gun control, and he's hoping for more congressional action on gun laws.
Yeah, so the two main ones he announced, one is for restricting weapons known as ghost guns that you can sort of build using parts and instructions online.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one involves, where is it at here? I think it's like a brace for pistols, arm brace that was used for the Boulder shooting in Colorado, which kind of makes it easier to have like a stable shot.
It essentially turns a pistol into a mini rifle, more or less. It gives you a more stable way to actually take out more targets.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is kind of the two that he is putting into action. And talk about plans for congressional action, things like banning assault rifles like we used to. Let's see what else. The other one was for universal background checks.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. The chances of stuff's going to happen unless somehow, Republicans actually flip, which is not going to happen. Despite the majority of the country wants some form of action to be taken.
Yep. Yeah, the vast majority of the country does support a lot of these measures, including Republicans, believe it or not. So,
yeah,
and you know, other responsible gun owners like me, completely okay with it. Hopefully this is the first step in some more active taking part in, you know, strengthening already existing gun laws. Next up, we've also got another story about the now former Trump administration, but the former Trump HUD official fined $1,000 and barred from federal employment for 4 years.
Yep. This is a
housing and urban development. Yeah.
She worked for the Trump administration, violated the Hatch Act over a video she produced for the RNC last year. And this is part of the settlement, admitting that she violated the Hatch Act with the video. Let's see. And then, yeah, she gets fined $1,000. It's not allowed to work in any sort of federal employment for 4 years. So, yeah, that's
all right.
That's good. Hopefully there's more.
Yeah, just fine with that. All right. So, yeah, hopefully there's more former Trump officials that are going to get the book thrown at them. Pretty sure there will be. But speaking of someone who has gone through such a massive and quick fall, Representative Matt Gaetz, the associate of his that was, you know, the tax collector, was it the tax collector or it's the other dude?
No, that's him.
Yeah, the tax collector who ended up being involved in sex trafficking. Yeah, he is expected to cop a plea deal that will flip to help the Department of Justice on the Gaetz investigation. Which kind of makes it look like Gates is not going to come out of this in one piece. No, apparently the rest of the Republican Party was just ready to fucking turn on him. Because apparently everyone else there just can't fucking stand the guy.
Yeah. And there's a thing that came out about the other guy, Joel Greenberg, and Matt Gaetz were using Venmo to pay each other for these girls' services.
Mm-hmm.
And he used the note for, like, hit up, you know, and this woman's nickname. That was part of the one of the three women that he used the, like, it was $900 to pay for. So, like, you guys have too much money to realize you shouldn't be using things with that'll leave trails for this kind of shit.
But yet his Venmo is clean.
Yeah.
Didn't he have kind of a meltdown tonight on Twitter?
Well, let's see. let's see. I want to see.
I know that the Fox News guys were basically defending him, like trying to flip the script to, like, oh, what's Hunter Biden doing? That kind of thing. It's like, Hunter Biden is a private person. A normal citizen. Matt Gaetz is an elected official.
Yeah.
Being paid tax money for his salary. Should not be doing this kind of shit in office.
Yeah.
Also, he's going to be the keynote speaker for the Women for America First event at Trump Doral tonight. So,
yeah.
A weird coincidence.
Yeah. I can't find anything about breakdown on Twitter.
Well, maybe it's just a wine fest. He had a really whiny tweet. You know, something like, my best friend or one of my friends is turning on me. Of course, this could have been completely fabricated. My Venmo is clean. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, yeah. Venmo, like, kind of, like, I don't know, publishes these things about whenever you do a transaction. It's not just people who have access to your account. Everybody can see it. Everybody can see what you're buying, what you're paying for, what transaction you're doing. It's just mind-blowing.
But his legal issues are getting worse now because now the House Ethics Committee is investigating him.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure what sort of punishment he could be in for, but yeah, let's see. The committee is aware of public allegations and Representative Matt Gaetz may have engaged in sexual misconduct and or illicit drug use, sharing inappropriate images or videos on the House floor, misused state identification records, converted campaign funds to personal use and or accepted a bribe, improper gratuity or impermissible gift in violation of House rules, laws, or other standards of conduct. Statement noted that the existence of the investigation doesn't indicate that any violation has occurred. But yeah, put a little pressure on him.
Yeah,
there's the first member of the GOP that has called on him to resign is Rep. Adam Kinzinger of Illinois. So there's that.
It's possible, yeah. But yeah, it's getting bad, and apparently he doesn't have a single fucking friend down there, so other news, the autopsies of George Floyd confirm what we already all knew in the first place, that he died from homicide from asphyxiation by Derek Chauvin by kneeling on his fucking neck for over 8 minutes.
Yeah, they were trying to argue in the court that he had what was it, OxyContin or fentanyl intoxication, which there was a doctor from, I forget where he was from, but his way is talking about looking at the footage and counting the breaths, and if you're on fentanyl, you're more slow breathing, but saying that his breathing was sort of normal. There's no real change. It's nothing that would show that fentanyl was in his system that was affecting his breathing. Just the the knee on his neck.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. At this point, what Chauvin's defense team is trying to do now is they're not even trying to hide the fact that he's guilty. They're trying to create like a sense of reasonable doubt in the jury, but they are completely fucking failing at it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because the facts pretty much show what happened here. In next relatively sad news, but also kind of hopeful news, there was that story going around about how all these warehouse workers in Alabama for Amazon were voting on whether or not they were going to form a union. It turns out that the votes came back and they voted against forming a union. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of it, because the union guys are going to, you know, post a challenge, because Amazon was involved in a lot of very obvious anti-union maneuvers.
Yeah.
But it also means that you cannot hope to form a union solely on good words. You actually have to, like, get involved in action and, you know, put yourself in those communities and actually listen to the people down there.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of that, because of the way things are right now, far too many people are scared of losing their jobs to actually take the risk necessary to form a union.
Yeah.
Yep.
So don't consider this don't be discouraged by this. The fact that it actually got to this point that Amazon themselves actually felt threatened about it, and the word ended up spreading like this, is a big victory in and of itself. So I have a feeling that this will not be the last time that another warehouse will vote about whether they're going to form a union.
Yeah.
And it might happen somewhere down here in the South. So we'll see how that goes. In other news, unfortunately, from my fucking state, the Georgia GOP is removing Coca-Cola from their offices after the criticisms from Coca-Cola's CEO about the voter suppression laws that were recently signed into effect.
And weirdly late compared to everything else, but still enough to piss them off to the point of like putting a request to get all the Coke removed from their machines and all that.
Yeah, good fucking luck with that, pal.
Of course, if you've seen Stephen Miller tweeting about, because Trump had joined in this whole call for that.
Yeah.
Then people, Stephen Miller posted a tweet about meeting with him.
Mm-hmm.
And people looked behind this phone that he has here and noticed a certain red bottle kind of hiding behind there. It's like, oh, he's not following this shit that he's asking for.
Yeah. Also, I just need to point this out. Coca-Cola is fucking headquartered here in Georgia.
Yep.
It's from Georgia. The company was founded in Georgia. It's one of our state's biggest employers.
So would you say it would be a bad campaign thing if they switched to Pepsi? You think that would be a major tipping point for voters? Anyway.
See, the thing is, I don't like it because, I mean, I always thought the whole Cola War thing was stupid to begin with, because I like Pepsi as much as I like Coca-Cola, you know?
Yeah.
But, if they all tried to switch to Pepsi, it would basically backfire in a very serious way.
Yeah. So what you guys call it, just call all of that stuff Coke.
Mm-hmm.
All those kinds of sodas, whereas we're like pop here.
Yeah. Like, it's so ingrained in our culture that no matter what kind of soda it is, even if it's like fucking...
Just give me that Pepsi Coke.
Yeah, like, whether it's fucking... Yeah, even if it's like fucking, like, Fanta Orange, it's a Coke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, the Nazi drinks there.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you ever had Orange Coke before?
No.
I didn't like it. No, it just, I mean, I drank the whole thing, but I didn't like it enough to drink it again. It was a one and done thing.
Well, then your tastes are bad and you should feel bad.
However, Cherry Coke.
Oh,
Cherry
yes,
Coke is
Cherry
where
Coke
the shit is
is
at.
the nectar of the fucking gods. I will die on that hill.
The best place I ever had it was some restaurant in, like, it was an actual diner in Memphis. And
in Tennessee.
They had, they had, like, the actual old soda machines.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best fucking Cherry Coke I've ever had in my life.
We have the fucking Coca-Cola Museum here in Georgia, where you can get flavors that they don't even sell anymore.
When I was in Atlanta, I did not take the time to go there. I wish
you can
that
actually
I had.
Still get New Coke down over there.
Oh God, please don't.
But yeah. Oh yeah, that's a whole other. Although I think I've actually done that one before.
You did New Coke, yeah.
Yeah, I did do New Coke. Yeah. Maybe it's been long enough I should do it again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I will. Stay tuned next week to find out. But yeah, speaking of right-wing bullshittery, the GOP is now heavily engaged in very dumb cancel culture wars now. Because
even
that is
more so than before.
Yeah, and it's because it's literally the one card they have left to work on.
Yeah. And they've been perfecting the art of cancel culture
mm-hmm.
since rock music was invented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's the devil. The Smurfs is the devil. Harry Potter is the devil. Let's cancel the Dixie Chicks, even though they're not chicks anymore. Or they're not Dixie. Maybe they're just the chicks.
Yeah,
there's something
just
and not
now.
The other. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, nobody does fucking cancel culture more than they do, but...
Right. They even canceled Amy Grant and Patty, I can't remember her name. She was both really popular Christian singers because one of them got a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was because she released a regular song, just a pop mm-hmm. song.
Yeah.
And so they canceled her.
Yeah,
they did cancel culture shit on Disney, and I am absolutely equating all of the Southern Baptists with GOP members. Yes,
yes,
I know I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not wrong.
It is, but yeah, like I said, the reason they're doing this now and harder than they've ever done in the past is because this is quite literally the last thing they can go on. They basically blew all the goodwill they had on all the other. Ideological takes that they had because basically the Trump administration fucking flaunted all of them.
Yeah.
They kept warning us about the fucking evils of the national debt and the deficit, and they ended up tripling the fucking debt in like 2 years.
Yeah, well, the last week tonight was doing a episode on the national debt and basically showing that the last three GOP presidents are the ones that have ballooned the deficit.
Yeah. Also, if you're just a regular person, you should not give a shit about the national debt because it does not affect you in any way.
And
the
rate that they were...
Who just did a really good thing on that? Was it Stephen Colbert?
No, it was John Oliver.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was John Oliver.
Did a whole segment of the show about it. And yeah, he basically showed it's basically a bullshit talking point that
yep.
they have managed to brainwash people into being terrified of what is ultimately a boogeyman that has no effect on them. Hell, even the old like standby of like Chinese owned debt, that's not even true anymore because China is not our largest holder of debt. It's Japan.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just, it's about investing that money into useful things, not just using it up.
A government is supposed to have a debt of some kind. That means it's doing shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
The debt is not something that you're supposed to completely pay off. Because a national debt is not something you will ever pay off. Because that's just not how, because governments are not meant to work on a profit.
Yeah,
but
yeah, this article is just a fun read. I just see all the bullshit they're engaged in with the GOP,
mm-hmm.
Going at war with the MLB at this point,
mm-hmm.
Which involved Greg Abbott, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, like refusing to throw out the first pitch at the Rangers home opener, which had 100% of the seats filled. Saying it is shameful that America's pastime is being influenced by partisan politics, which has always been the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they haven't had the courage to stand up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all that bullshit, and then Mitch McConnell talking, saying, my warning to corporate America is to stay out of politics. I'm not talking about political contributions.
Yeah, he had to back all that up a little bit the following day because, he was that close to biting the hand that feeds him, and he immediately had to walk it all back. moving on from there for other right-wing bullshittery, Wayne LaPierre, the blood merchant who is the head of the NRA and has probably been the one who is slowly driving it into the ground as we speak. During mass shootings, it's now come out that he would seek refuge on a friend's luxury yacht.
Yeah. Good.
So under maritime law?
Have him.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's good use for all those guns he has.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be his security.
Yep. Yeah, Wayne, what about that? I thought that, you know, if you had a gun, you could take on anyone. But no, you ended up getting on your buddy's fancy boat and going out in the middle of the ocean.
Yep.
I guess the bankruptcy trial for the NRA has started this week, April 5th.
Yep.
This is probably all part of that as well.
Yeah. And if they are not allowed to declare bankruptcy, that is legit the end of the NRA.
Yeah.
Straight up, they will be forced to disincorporate.
Yeah, good retort here. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good friend with a yacht.
Mm-hmm. All right, so next up, private storage businesses. You guys know, I'm pretty sure you guys, or at least somebody in your family, has had to use one of these at one time or another.
Yeah, the hoarder farm.
Yeah. If you're... I had to do a little research on this before we started the show to see, like, is this a thing outside the U.S.? And as it turns out, yeah, it is, but not to the extent. Like, in Western Europe, there's, like, no more than, like, 1,000 of these things existing, whereas here in the U.S. alone, there's, like, over 42,000.
Yeah, they're even in banks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But basically, if you just didn't know what these are, it's basically just a business whose specific voice is they offer these private storage units that you can put your stuff in for a nominal fee, and you can keep them there for as long as you need them. You know, if you're like maybe if you're between houses or if you're going through like a divorce or something, or, you know, you need to, you know, you just... Yeah,
or like staging your house for sale. A lot of people will take about half their stuff and move it into a storage locker.
Yeah. And but the thing is about storage lockers is they're also really good places to hide shit if you're a criminal. And there is a private storage business in Los Angeles that was recently raided by the FBI because of claims that they were marketing to criminals.
Yeah. Because they found weapons, fentanyl, OxyContin, and at least one box that contained $1 million in cash.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like somebody involved in drug dealing.
Yeah, the U.S. attorney for the L.A. area alleged the company purposely marketed itself to criminals as a place where customers could stash valuables and tax officials would have a tough time identifying them or what was in the security boxes. Kind of keeping them anonymous of sorts. They also allege that an owner and employee of the business were involved in drug sales. The location helped customers convert cash into gold in amounts designed to avoid suspicion.
Mm.
At least one customer has claimed in court the government should not have confiscated items every box without detailing what crimes the box's owner was suspected of committing. And yet the customer's attorney wrote in a complaint, just as the tenant of each apartment controls that space and therefore has reasonable expectation of privacy in it, each of the hundreds of renters of safety deposit boxes has a separate reasonable expectation of privacy in his or her separately controlled box or boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutors argued the judge who approved the warrant to raid U.S. private vaults gave permission for the sweeping seizures.
Yeah. When you've got a storage unit that's that full of firearms, fentanyl, which is an extremely potent opioid that is even more potent than OxyContin, and $1 million in cash. Yeah, that's like a bunch of fucking red flags.
Right, it's quacking like a duck there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And now for some more stuff from the fallout of the Georgia voter repression shit. The MLB All-Star Game is heading from Atlanta to Denver.
Yep.
Yep.
And Colorado. And before anyone says it, because I already have been hearing this fucking talking point, no, Colorado doesn't have voting laws that are as strict as Georgia's.
Yeah, the Senator Tim Scott has been pushing this shit.
Yeah.
As well as Brian Kemp. Yeah, things like voter ID. Mm-hmm. Colorado's law is far less restrictive for both in-person and mail-in voting.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado requires voters show ID when they vote in person, but its lengthy list of acceptable forms of ID includes some that do not include photos. You know, things like copy of a current utility bill, bank statement, government check, paycheck, or other government mm-hmm. document that shows the name and address of the elector.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more flexibility versus just a ID card of some sort.
Yeah,
exactly. Also, by default, every voter automatically gets sent a ballot for a mail-in ballot
mm-hmm.
weeks before the election that they can drop off or mail in or, you know, whatever they need to.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Georgia, obviously, probably put up as many roadblocks as they can on that shit. The early voting days. Let's see, yeah, they 17 in Georgia, 15 in Colorado is what Tim Scott and Brian Kemp say, but that ignores the fact that Colorado primarily conducts its elections by mail, not with in-person voting.
Yeah.
They're one of, like, a handful of states that does that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the in-person voting is not as much of a critical thing for Colorado as it is for Georgia.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very disingenuous talking point, and demonstrably not true.
Yeah.
But that's not really the point for saying shit like that. It's to
put it out there in the ether.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so now moving on to the entertainment portion of the show. We know this week that Paramount is delaying just a bunch of their movies.
Yeah, their big ones are stuff like Top Gun Maverick, which is scheduled for July 2nd, is now November 19th, which was the date that the new Mission Impossible is going to be. Mm-hmm. So that one's been pushed to May 27th next year. And I guess the Mission Impossible after that was scheduled for November 4th next year. It's now July 7th in 2023.
Yeah.
There's Snake Eyes, a new G.I. Joe spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be October 22nd this year. Is now July 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was July 23rd. Now it's October 22nd.
Yeah.
The new Jackass movie was that October 22nd.
Yeah.
All right. It was September 3rd. Now it's October 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no.
It was previously scheduled.
The Snake Eyes has moved up.
Yeah, the Snake Eyes has moved up.
Yeah, okay. There ain't some of these weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Dungeons and Dragons movie was set for May 27th next year. Has been taken by Mission Impossible. So now it's March 3rd, 2023. The Star Trek now has a date for June 9th, 2023. So they got a while to figure all that out. Yeah, and there's a couple like untitled stuff here. So some big movies getting pushed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, in that Dungeons and Dragons movie, Dave Arneson is actually getting a writing credit on it. Hmm. So it's not just Gygax who's getting all the praise there.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, though he's not around anymore.
No, neither of them are.
Okay. I know he passed away a few years ago.
Yeah. Speaking of which, have you seen the fucking drama that's been going on in the Gygax family ever since he died and just the fucking vicious inheritance conflicts that's been going on?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. It is nasty. If you get a chance, read up on it. There's like an article about it. I forgot what it's called, but describes it. And it's like, it's some seriously cutthroat shit.
Yeah.
And his widow really does not come out of it looking very good. I'll just say it like that. Next up, Mystery Science Theater 3000. It recently, you know, had its resurgence on, I think it was Netflix. And now it's going back on Kickstarter again to help fund more episodes. So,
they did that back in November 2015. Mm-hmm. At the biggest Kickstarter at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they have gone into hibernation after that bit of episodes they did, but they have gone back $2 million goal, already at almost $2.4
million
on that, with 28 days to go still.
Why should they have to when Netflix paid so much for Knives Out 2 and 3?
Yeah, well, they are going to be doing it on their own platform.
Oh, they're not going to be using Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're going to be putting all these on. Yeah, they're doing all these on a platform called, where was it at? Here's a weird name. The Gizmoplex.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's kind of their, they're doing like an all-access pass for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have live premieres and events. One live event per month for the first year. They have Joel Hodgson in the cast and writers and some special guests to watch with fans.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. New sketches, trailers, done MST3K style, live Q&A panel discussions, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the MST3K Watch Club. Where each month you'll get on-demand access to a new selection of episodes. They host their own live screenings for up to 10 people. And you get the pass. Anyone with that can join for free.
Mm.
You also just get a day pass for the one day for like 99 cents. So not too bad. Have apps on all the things. iOS, Android, Apple TV, Roku, Android TV, Fire TV, all that stuff. And they got stretch goals, which they got the funding for 3 new episodes and launching of Gizmoplex.
Mm.
3.3 million gets them 6 episodes in the apps. Mm. 4.4 for 9 episodes and 12 months of live events. And 5.5 for 12 episodes and 12 new shorts as well. So lots of information on the Kickstarter itself, which they conveniently don't link to in the article here, I don't think. Okay, no, there it is. It's kind of hidden there, but yeah, seems neat for what they're doing. And if they're going to have their own platform, makes it easier for them to have a bit more control over their old stuff and how to get it out to people.
I wonder if they're going to sort of take this and like blend it into the Rift, into the stuff they do with Rift Tracks.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what the live events kind of sound like.
Yeah. All right, and we also this week got our first trailer for Loki, which debuts on June 11th on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of continues with the weird part of Avengers Endgame, where Loki grabs, what was it? I forget, one of the stones, and sort of zips off into his own somewhere else, and this kind of catalogs the tale of like what he had been doing up to that point and what he does afterwards and going to these different parts of the universe and all that.
Yep. And finally, last story of the night, we also got a news teaser for Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah, this is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this, but it shows the mini puffs, which is a weird thing. That's you know, the
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Yes,
yeah,
the movie.
That was a whole weird thing. But here's like, hey, what if the individual marshmallows in the packets came to life? And it's really kind of fucked up in this teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like going on a grill and melting themselves. Yeah, like cooking themselves, and one's like melting and enjoying themselves. And another one, they put him on a graham cracker with a Hershey bar on top and start melting the chocolate. And he's like enjoying this whole mm-hmm. process. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Mm.
Creepy body horror shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what this movie is going to be about, but it seems like it's going to have some weird shit in it, which I guess sure.
Yeah, that's well, I mean, it's Ghostbusters, so, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. I would like to remind everybody, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. Although, even though I say this is unscripted, it's clearly scripted because we got the freaking show notes here. So have I been lying this whole fucking time?
No, it's just outlined, not actually scripted, right?
Stay on the script. Damn it.
Yeah, moving on. Yeah, so I would like to say to all of our listeners, for Teresa Sammons and Chris Elogi, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Good night, sleep tight, and go get the fucking vaccine if you can get it. Because trust me, the little bit of fucking inconvenience you'll get from the side effects are far better compared to the shit that you'll actually deal with when you get this fucking disease.